Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Right from the Left Coast. I am your host, Linda, broadcasting from beautiful Oceanside, California. It is gorgeous out there. I'm still a little under the weather, so I'm not really enjoying this great summer we're having. Just got back from the doctor, taking some meds, got a little bit of wine. It's crazy. Anyway, so much happening today. I see that my chat room is a little bit empty, so we will continue, and hopefully others are listening via other methods. We are on for 1 hour tonight. This show is brought to you by PatriotFamilies.com. That's www.PatriotFamilies.com. That's Families with a Y-S. Wonderful site. Great people. Informative, active, fighting the good fight all over this country. It's just an amazing place. They've upgraded it a little. The site looks better. We've got great videos. Just a great group of patriots that I've known for quite a few years now and just have met in person throughout this time period of getting to know people who are fighting the good fight after the 9/12 project and the Patriot, all the tea parties were happening. We got together and we've been doing wonderful reunions ever since. And I would invite everyone to come there. Also, we have a lot to talk about today. I'm very still upset about the all the backlash from O'Dummer on the or the White House on the rodeo clown in Missouri at the state fair. So that was pretty disgusting. This guy is so thin-skinned and wants everything his way, like he thinks he's a king or he thinks he's Stalin. And it's about time that people stood up to this clown. He's the clown, and told him off to his face in no uncertain terms, and nobody in the press has the guts to do it. And that's probably why they don't let you and me that close to that press room, because he would get an earful, and he knows it. But he's evil, so we'll not even worry about that. I wanted to talk today a lot about what I've been reading, and it's just amazing when you get into history. But going into the monetary system, which is what we know is about to collapse, and back in the progressive era of Woodrow Wilson, I wanted to go through this time where this particular chapter of which I'm reading is The Creature from Jekyll Island by Griffin, which is talking about the Federal Reserve System and how it was born, what it does, how evil it is, and who's involved in it, and how this monetary system has been perverted. Then we're going to go into the law and how it's been perverted, written by a man who died shortly afterwards writing it, which was Frederick Bastiat. He was born in 1801 in Bayonne, France. And so we have a guest, 2996. Can't tell if that's one of my people, but welcome to the show. We're getting a little bit of a late start with people showing up. So what we have is, during this time, one of the most – this is Colonel Mandel House. Hey, Rod, welcome to the show. Looks like you and me are it for a while. The most influential man behind the scenes at this time was Colonel Edward Mandel House, personal advisor to Woodrow Wilson, and later to FDR. Oh boy. House had, so he was a busy little boy, had close contacts with both J.P. Morgan and the old banking families of Europe. He had received several years of his schooling in England, and in later years, surrounded himself with prominent members. Okay, you're going to love this. Of the Fabian Society. Oh, do I love those clowns. Okay, don't worry. I'm glad you're here. Grooming Vashti. Okay, cool. Anyway, it says, furthermore, he was a man, this is Mandel House, a man of great personal wealth, most of it acquired during the war between the states, which would be the Civil War. Wow. His father, Thomas William House, had acted as the confidential American agent of unknown banking interests in London. It was commonly believed he represented the Rothschilds. Would not surprise me. Although settled in Houston, Texas, the elder often remarked that he wanted his sons to know and serve England. You see how disloyal these people were all the way back then. He was one of the few residents of a Confederate state who emerged from the war with a great fortune, so he had money. Widely acknowledged, Colonel House was the man who selected Wilson as presidential candidate, or as a presidential candidate, and who secured his nomination. So this guy, I've got Mike from the hot seat. Love it. Welcome, everyone. Hi, Ron. Got you up there, too. He became, we're talking about good old Mandel House, became Wilson's constant companion, and the president admitted publicly that he depended on him greatly for instruction and guidance. Many of Wilson's important point of posts in government were hand-selected by House. He and Wilson even went so far as to develop a private code so they could communicate freely over the telephone. Gee, I wonder what the NSA would say about that. The president himself had written, this is Woodrow Wilson stating, and I quote, "Mr. House is my second personality. He is my independent self. His thoughts and mine are one." So here's this other guy that comes into it. He's this is George Viereck, and he's an admiring biographer of House. So he obviously wrote this piece on him. He tells us, "House had the Texas delegation in his pocket. Always moving quietly in the background, he made and unmade several governors of Texas. House selected Wilson because he regarded him as the best available candidate. For 7 long years, Colonel House was Woodrow Wilson's other self. For 6 long years, he shared with him all but the title of the Chief Magistrate of the Republic. For 6 years, 2 rooms were at his disposal in the north wing of the White House." Gee, sounds like what's going on today. "It was House who made the slate for the cabinet, formulated the first policies of the administration, and practically directed the foreign affairs of the United States. We had indeed 2 presidents for one. Super ambassador, he talked to emperors and kings as an equal. He was the spiritual generalissimo of the administration. He was the pilot who guided the ship." And that was a quote from the guy who did a biography on this clown. So again, anyone is welcome to call in with their comments on what we're discussing and other things I'm going to get into. 646-378-0321. Okay, so I guess you guys are having trouble hearing me. If anyone's having trouble, you guys can call in, or we've got about 52 minutes left. And I wanted to go into this just a little bit more and then go into what I was discovering through my newfound friend, Frederick Bastiat. Anyway, this is going back to Jekyll Island. It says, "A secret agreement to get the U.S. into war." This was, of course, World War I. "As the presidential election neared for Wilson's second term," I don't know why they call him this, but I guess we could Google it and find out. It says, "Colonel House entered into a series of confidential talks with Sir William Wiseman, who was attached to the British Embassy in Washington and who acted as a secret intermediary between House and the British Foreign Office." Charles Seymour writes, "Between House and Wiseman, there were soon to be few political secrets. This was upsetting to the Secretary of State, William Jennings Bryan. Mrs. Bryan, as co-author of her husband's memoirs, writes, "While Secretary Bryan was bearing the heavy responsibility of the Department of State, there arose the curious conditions surrounding Mr. E.M., Edward Mandel House's unofficial connection with the president and his voyages abroad on affairs of state, which were not communicated to Secretary Bryan. The president was unofficially dealing with foreign governments." Gee, what a surprise. Which one of you got there, Ron? Call in and let us know what's happening. Okay, "What was the purpose of the dealings? It was nothing less than to work out the means whereby the United States could be brought into the war." So this is one of the things that they did. And this the part of this chapter, of course, is sink the Lusitania. So I want to go into talk about perversions of things and perversions of constitutions and executive powers and branches of government not being separated as they're supposed to be. So, okay, type in what you're doing there, Ron. I'd love to save it for later, but we'll have to do that at Patriot Families as well. This particular piece on the law by Bastiat has a chapter stating a complete perversion of the law. How has this perversion of the law been accomplished? and what have been the results? The law has been perverted by the influence of two entirely different causes. Here's one of them: stupid greed and false philanthropy. That's the second. Let us speak of the first. It's called a fatal tendency of mankind. Self-preservation and self-development are common aspirations among all people. And if everyone enjoyed the unrestricted use of his faculties and the free disposition of the fruits of his labor, social progress would be ceaseless, uninterrupted, and unfailing. But there is also another tendency that is common among people. When they can, they wish to live and prosper at the expense of others. Gee, food stamps, anyone? There is no rash accusation, nor does it come from a gloomy and uncharitable spirit. The annals of history bear witness to the truth of it. The incessant wars, mass migrations, religious persecutions, universal slavery, dishonesty in commerce, and monopolies. Boy, that sounds like our republic that's failing today. This fatal desire has its origin in the very nature of man, in that primitive, universal, and insuppressible instinct that impels him to satisfy his desires with the least possible pain. And then we talk about property and plunder. And I wanted to go to, if I can find that one. Yes, some quick quotes from Mr. Bastiat. And he says, try to imagine a system of labor imposed by force that is not a violation of liberty, a transfer of wealth imposed by force that is not a violation of property rights. If you cannot do so, then you must agree that the law cannot organize labor and industry without organizing injustice. And then he goes on, unhappy country where the sacred forces that were meant to support each man's rights are perverted to accomplish themselves, the violation of those rights. Very wise man. Got a couple more here, and then we will take calls. The state has no resources of its own. This is my favorite. The state has no resources of its own. It has nothing. It possesses nothing that it does not take from the workers. When then it meddles in everything, it substitutes the deplorable and costly activity of its own agents for private activity. Yes. Okay. Ron says, after the election, House acted as unofficial advisor to each governor. Hogg gave House the title Colonel by promoting House to his staff. Okay. House helped to make the four men governor of Texas. Yeah. Okay. Well, they didn't say the names of the people, but they briefly mentioned it in the book. And again, 646-378-0321. What I've been learning is that all this stuff that we are dealing with, this guy was born in Bayonne, France, Mr. Frederick Bastiat. He wrote this in 1850, just prior to his death. He did contract tuberculosis, poor man, but he was only 49 when he passed. But anyway, just brilliant. Absolutely. I mean, he's like the Sermon on the Mount and Hayek all rolled into one. I mean, this guy has got it. He gets it. And so they have been dealing with this. We have been dealing with this plunder since, you know, the garden. So, or at least Babylon. So this is what we're up against. And I'm really glad to see you guys here. I know that some people are busy. Some people can't make it at this hour. Rod, Michael, Mikey B, and Rod Luke, welcome. Again, 646-378-0321. If you guys have anything on your minds you want to scream about, because I've been screaming yesterday with Bill and everybody and Ron for about an hour and a half, because we've had it with these clowns, and we're trying to figure out a way to definitely go underground. And as Mike says, road warrior. So, yeah, definitely saying hi to everybody. Again, please call in. We only have about 45 minutes left. I'd love to hear your guys' views on stuff. There was one more. I'm going to go back to this. There was one more that I wanted to get into. This was another headline of today. It said, Holder releasing thousands of criminals back out onto your streets. And just a brief getting into that one. I'm really tired of these people. And I talked earlier before you got tuned in about the rodeo clown and all this stuff. And now people are trying to support him and give him a job. Anyway, it says, first U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder refused to prosecute Obama's friends of voter intimidation, even with their actions being caught on video. Then he refused to defend some U.S. federal laws, such as the Defense of Marriage Act and some of the immigration laws. He not only refused to uphold voting laws and the U.S. Constitution, but he illegally stopped states from enacting their own laws. I don't know of a more corrupt and anti-American and anti-constitution attorney general in the United States history. If the damage Holder has already done is not enough, he wants to inflict more damage by setting thousands of inmates free and lowering the sentences on many future criminals. He is sending out new instructions for all federal prosecutors to reduce the sentences on thousands of low-level offenses, well, many relating to drugs. That I kind of agree with, but the high offenders, they just should build more prisons. In the 1980s, the government launched its war on drugs and established strict guidelines for people convicted of drug-related crimes. Another stupid thing, war on drugs. In fact, I was watching Ron Paul's new station. He's got it on the internet talking about that very subject. Today's prisons house nearly 220,000 inmates, with many of them operating at 40% of capacity. Now Holder wants to weaken the system because too many people are going to prison and the social do-gooders have made it impossible to pack them in like sardines. Under Holder's new sentencing guidelines, sentences will be suited to the individual's conduct rather than the nature of the crime. Oh, God. So here's Holder quoting, "We need to ensure that incarceration is used to punish, deter, and rehabilitate, not merely to convict, warehouse, and forget." This guy's an idiot. Anyway, so that's another little lovely thing we have to deal with. Okay, I'm going to pick you guys up. I think I have 812. I've got Ron and I've got Bill, I think. I'm going to pick you guys up. Hello and welcome to the program.
How are you,
lady?
Oh, good. I got a couple of you. I couldn't see your name in there, Bill, so I figured you're having trouble getting in. What's on your mind, Bill? And then we'll go to Ron. Sorry.
Oh, what's on my mind? What's on my mind? I feel like I've totally been betrayed by my elected officials for years, decades now, and that we're arriving at our last straw, and who really knows what's going to be happening?
Yeah.
But I'm telling everyone I know, get ready, get ready.
Yep. I know. Yeah, it's pretty scary. Mr. Ron, what would you have to say to that as well?
Well, I think that's true. The video link I put up, thanks to Mikey B, by the way. Mikey sent me a video link of one of his rants. And on the side, you know, there's always several different videos. And one caught my eye, and that led to another one.
Okay.
And then I've spent the entire day watching this video series from this YouTube channel. But the one that I posted is an appropriate link, I think, for right now, and it's John Hagee talking about the Illuminati and Babylon and the United Nations and how they're the Tower of Babel and what they're building. So, you know, that's really what they believe. That's honest to God what they believe. I've talked about that before. They think, or they're certain in their minds, that they're ushering in a new age of man, where, interestingly enough, if you watch the video, and I didn't know all of this, but it's pretty interesting when you watch all the different parts. They're talking about the mixing of the DNA of man with fallen angels to create gods.
Oh my goodness.
Men. Yeah, it's pretty freaky.
That's sick.
It's beyond sick. But when they show, you know, throughout all these videos, they keep showing clips of all this pop culture.
Yep.
And all these videos, and I had no idea because I don't watch any of this junk.
Right.
But they all have these Egyptian themes and pyramids with the eyes and all this junk.
Oh, and like the Cirque du Soleil guys.
Yeah. And the opening ceremonies to the Olympics over in England.
Yep, that's the one. That's the that's Cirque du Soleil. Yeah. They're all this culture and this medium of getting to the kids. Oh my God, how long has this been going on, since the 60s?
Well, and the whole idea, you know, but in that clip, Peggy talks about one of the members of the United Nations speaking about how we have to basically indoctrinate the children and eliminate God.
Oh, yeah. Well, Karl Marx thought that, too.
I mean, it's time, like he said, it's time we invite them to leave.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I'm hoping that we're going to get some more information on that particular thing you stumbled upon in your area, Bill. So, we can't
say
what we're thinking.
Well, it can only serve one of two purposes, Linda.
Yeah.
One, it's either a death camp, or number two, it's meant for war to get rid of bodies.
Well, yeah. Well, okay. I think it's going to be both, because the war is going to be on us anyway. I mean, like, I did say that to one of my...
That's when we play Catch Me If You Can.
Yep, that's exactly. And what Ron was talking about several times on our shows and talking about that speech of Patrick Henry, I actually quoted that today to one of my buddies because he says, well, we're not sure when this is all going to happen. I go, who cares? It's not a matter of an if anymore. It's a matter of when. And this is not good. And I'm saying, who the heck do you think all this... Who do you think this is for? You know?
Right.
Yeah.
The invading Chinese, I mean.
Yeah.
I'm of that train of thought. If it's going to happen, let it happen now in my time so my grandkids can live in peace.
Got it. Yeah, absolutely. Because, I mean, do you realize how... I mean, you would be dancing as fast as you could trying to teach them everything you know in the short time you have left so they could pick up this, you know, the cross and follow and do it. Oh, my gosh. My God. We've got to do something, and I think everybody's ready to just say, I know Ron said yesterday, you're done. let's go down to them hills. Go down to where it's kind of safe.
We'll back in.
The what?
That was Chad. That was Chad. He said, we'll take you here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we know, Chad. We got that figured out. It's fabulous, and thank you so much. All y'all. I just want to make sure that if we all got together, because I know Ron has the best toys. That's what I need to know.
I need a bigger gun. I'm here to tell you,
dude. From what I understand,
we gotta get
that thing. What do you say?
We've got a big enough gun.
Good. Well.
I'm talking about a 20-millimeter sniper rifle for these damn MRAPs. They're just...
Oh, my God.
We need one of them.
But we've also got something for even further out there than that.
There you go.
Good.
We're talking 5-6 miles away.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
How far is that facility from you, Bill?
Wow. God, I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Anyway, so I guess I had a question.
They've got all their underground caverns all stocked up and stuff. They're ready to go underground.
Yeah, they are. I know. Oh, yeah, this is, I mean, all these guys have been talking.
I'm ready to weld them in.
Oh, yeah, we know, Mikey. We're not going to get too crazy. We'll be smart about it. I'm sure I'm on every list out there. I'm positive of it.
If I'm not on the list, I'm appalled.
if somebody wants to go underground, I hope they've got damn good sump pumps.
Yep.
Yep. So, I was going to ask you guys, what do you think of
the area that has a lot of caverns and caves and stuff, Ron, that they're not even listed?
I think there's one.
Yeah, no need to make it easier for them to hunt us down. That's true. That's why we want to go to this place where I was privileged to see that Sunday when I hung out with Bill. But so what do you think of the attitude of the White House and the thin-skinned creep that's hanging out in Martha's Vineyard, you know, with all his basketballs flying on a separate plane, and then he's PO'd at some rodeo clown because he's too thin-skinned? I think he's acting like Stalin, as far as I'm concerned.
I hope he chokes on a grape.
Huh?
I hope he chokes on a grape.
Yeah, I hope he chokes on whatever.
I hope he steps on a damn bunker rake.
Wouldn't that be nice?
On the golf cart course, just have it come up and swat him in the face.
Oh, God.
That'd be
just
nice.
Evil.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was racist of me, wasn't it?
It was racist because whatever hit him.
Oh, God. And then, did you hear the latest, what Oprah's is supposed to be recruited to do now? She's, yeah. I'm not sure what he's typing in the chat room. I'm not going there. But anyway, Oprah is supposed to be recruited now to promote Obamacare out in the public. I would imagine she's probably going to get recruited to promote Hildebeest in 2016. And I'm going to be doing the opposite.
Well, I'm here to tell you, but I think the wheels have come off the Hildebeest wagon. I don't believe she's going to be president of anything.
I hope so.
That's why they're, when they realize that their number one threat is going nowhere, then they're going to really get radical. They're going to really push the issue then, because they're going to realize they're going to lose their power, which I don't see how they really lose their power, because both sides, you take the establishment.
Well,
sure,
you know,
for an establishment candidate, that just ain't going to happen.
Something is up. And you look back to the 08 election, or the 08 campaign, okay, when the Hildebeest and Chuckles got called into the Bilderberg meeting.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, when they left all the damn media.
Sure.
Stranded on a
different
airplane.
Yep. Hung
okay,
out to dry.
So I think Hillary was told no. You're not it. She's not part of the game. Today, the New York Times ran an article on the Clinton Foundation.
Yes.
And
oh,
evidently, they're $40 million in debt, and there are huge, enormous accusations of crony capitalism, or, you know, play to pay. And, all these donations that their foundation got from all of these Mideastern, you know, Saudi sheikhs and all this, millions and millions of dollars, and the corresponding sweet deals they got through government influence. So for the New York Post or New York Times or whatever art paper it was that came out with it, for them to come out with an article that is that critical of Hillary,
wow.
You know, it's got to be a lot worse than what they're publishing. So
yeah,
I think she's done. Stick a fork.
I hope so. I'm praying you're right.
God, I wish. I can't say that out loud.
Well, whatever it is.
I wish for a long and prosperous life like Fidel Castro.
I'd like to see her have what Ted Kennedy got, the old brain cancer. Anyway. I know I shouldn't do it. That's bad, because God's going to punish me. Just look, we should just say, just take those people off of our shoulders and ask God to take them off our shoulders, because they're too big for us and they are His enemies. He can deal with them. That's it. And the other thing I heard today is, you know, this was purely people's opinions of the Middle East and the situation in Egypt's a mess. It's completely on fire. Absolutely on fire. Of course, Barry's too busy hanging out with people in Martha's Vineyard, you know, and choking on Barney's whatever. Anyway, so to come out and speak about that. And so apparently, because we're involved, what you talked about, that the map with the red lines and the Saudis, and they said, okay, this belongs to the U.S. So, I mean, if all of this is about some prime real estate with resources, why is I don't get it. Why? I just don't understand it, because that's not the only place that has natural resources and crude oil.
No.
We got tons of it.
But think about this. I mean, you got to put yourself in their mindset, okay?
Oh, okay. That must be the problem. I can't think that stupid.
If you want to, well, you look at the U.S., you're president or whatever, you control the United States, right?
Okay.
There's no challenge there. But if you want to control the rest of the world,
you
control the oil supply outside of the U.S.
So this is all about global control. This is not about
absolutely.
Anything
it's always been
sense.
About control. Bastard. You know, money. The thing people think that money is what's important to these folks, and it's not.
It's power.
They don't give a damn ultimate. About money. They can print it whenever they want.
I know.
Okay,
but they
so,
can't.
I mean,
they can't just manufacture gold. They can't manufacture diamonds.
No, exactly.
Out of their backside.
Well, diamonds are a whole nother. That's a whole nother rabbit hole. We don't want to go down. They're not even. I mean, that's a semi-precious stone, and that's been a racket in and of itself.
Right. And it's
go back
evil.
To Cecil Rhodes, but. Truly,
right.
You can't create new gold unless
right.
you transform gold into paper.
Right. What I'm saying is physically, unless you have Merlin's wand, you are not going
right.
to poof. But you know, it's not going to happen. So.
But they found a way to perfect alchemy. They don't need
right.
gold. That's why they want people to believe that gold is a relic, as Bernanke would say. Well, it's not money. Well, then why do central banks hold it? The tradition, more
the only,
than anything.
The only, yeah, one of the relics is he, Bernanke himself, and among others, if we want to get serious. Look, again, it's because you and I cannot think like these people. This is, I mean, I can read all the books in the world, and it's something that good and evil thing, and we're not on the evil side, so that must be the linear delineation of what's going on here. I can't think like that. I mean, I don't think I have it in me. Unless there's like one little tiny piece of me that's got, you know, evil lurking. But I can't. I look at this stuff.
We can't have people like you who can see things from the other angle, different angles. You got to look at it the same angle they do, or else we got to get rid of you.
Well, that's true. Now, we could say the same thing, but, you know,
well,
because...
think of it, Linda, think of it as darkness and light.
The
okay?
absence of light, okay.
Black and white, plain and simple.
Right.
Good and evil.
Okay.
Right? And that's the light. You go all the way back to Genesis.
Sure.
And you look at the lie, right? And...
yep.
I'm blown away. This whole video series I've been watching, you
well,
know,
can you put,
I never would have thought. I
know. Can
I
you type it
in
into Patriot Families for me? Because I don't want to lose my studio.
Yep, I'm gonna
yeah.
put you a link in there. Now this is to part 15 or 16.
Oh wow. Okay.
So I mean, you really want to go back and watch the whole thing?
Okay.
Has anyone ever seen the movie The Transformers?
Yeah.
No, I haven't.
Okay. Any idea that is satanic?
I don't know the theme of it, so I couldn't comment. Go
well,
ahead. Anybody
let, let know? Let me lay it out for you in the Transformers. In the Transformers, now, we know that Lucifer is a transformer, isn't he?
Right.
He can transform. In fact,
right.
in the scripture, he's transformed into an angel of light.
Mm-hmm.
He's able to transform himself. So when you look at the underlying storyline of the Transformers,
okay.
you have these Transformers that are falling to Earth, like
oh
fallen angels, like fallen
oh
stars from the
wow.
sky, right? And they're not depicted as evil. They're depicted as helpers of humanity, helping humanity fight the evil. And the evil is, in fact, the wrath of God, as it's played
okay.
out in the daggum movie. Now, I've never seen the movie, but I'm sitting there watching the clips, and I'm going,
okay.
I can see how this would absolutely
wow.
play out. And the guy who wrote the movie is a Satanist.
Ah, okay.
Ron, have you ever read the Majestic 12 papers?
Yes.
What you just described pretty much goes hand in hand with that.
Well, that's what, I mean, if you think about it, it's a biblical story.
Okay.
In reverse.
Yeah.
Where Satan and his angels are the saviors of mankind, which is the original lie
right?
You know, that Satan was enlightening Adam and Eve. He didn't lie
sure.
to them. He told them the truth, that if they ate from the fruit of the tree of life, they would be as God and live forever.
Sure.
And even Genesis, you know, God seems to, it seems that he verifies that, because he says we have to cast them out of
right.
the garden, lest they live forever. So it would appear almost that Satan's telling them the truth, but it was a lie, because
mm-hmm.
he's telling them that, you know, he's not telling them, if you do this, God's going to punish you, you see, and you won't live forever.
Right. But
so it's turned on its head. It's a mirror reflection of the truth.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, that Mikey was talking about the devil's advocate, and Al Pacino, Satan, said he was a fan of man. Well,
absolutely.
Yeah. So it was kind of a weird twist on the whole thing. Absolutely. But I did not see the Transformers.
I've been hung up on the Book of Daniel, a part about he will come promising change, changing the laws and changing the views, but what he brings
right.
is destruction.
Sure.
Well, that's what this guy was talking about. The pastor in one of the videos was talking about
okay.
the fourth kingdom that Daniel describes.
Okay.
Is the commingling of man with the DNA of Satan.
So where do they get this DNA from? Doesn't make sense.
Nancy Pelosi.
I got a few others.
Well, no, the Antichrist, the beast coming out of the ocean, out
got
of
it.
The pit, rising
what?
Up out of the ocean, the beast with the seven heads
hearing,
and the ten horns, and the
oh,
ten
what's
horns
that? Can't represent remember that guy's
the ten
name
kingdom.
For a second, but I'll think of it. Oh, Ray Kurzweil was talking about the singularity, where they're going to use people and DNA with the computer machines to live forever. Yeah.
I watched the Joe Rogan talk about that. And they're saying by 2045 they'll be able to take the human thought and put it into a machine's body, that you won't have any emotions or any of those kinds of things.
Right, and no soul and no real hearts, and that they can keep the memory or the memories of Granny alive and say, oh, well, Grandma's not really dead, but wrong
right.
song. You got the wrong...
In their warped brains, they think they're becoming immortal.
Exactly. It's
well,
sick.
Isn't that... And is that not what I... You know, you go all the way back, way back, and remember what man has done, everything from the moment after
mm-hmm.
until right now, is man trying to circumvent God's judgment, the punishment
right.
of God.
Right.
And this idea that these people are going to become immortal, that they're rebuilding Babylon. That is
I know,
their,
I know.
It's their aspiration.
Well, look.
To elevate themselves above
sure,
God.
Sure,
to be God.
But look. These people that are running D.C. right now and people in the Bank of England and stuff, the Rothschilds, honey, they already think they're already elevated. Are you kidding me? You got Bill Gates
what?
Trying to do the eugenics thing. You think he doesn't think he's a god? Please. Oh, my Lord. Go ahead.
And what's bad is these people all think, all our elected officials and all these people out here pushing for them, all think that they're going to get a pass.
Uh-huh. They're getting past.
They're not smart enough to know they're only being used until they've served their purpose, and then they'll be eliminated.
I know. Oh, yeah, for sure. But look at, they're all crying and screaming now. The unions and the this and the that and the IRS and the DHS and the HHS, and they don't want any part of this Obamacare, and they say, well, we need an exemption. So it's a train wreck. It's beyond a train wreck, and I hope Mike Lee gets his way and doesn't give him one dime. I hope that every single person has the total cojones and 535 of those morons to say no to this and just close the purse strings and say no. And if the damn government shuts down, good. Go back to your farms and your stupid whatever you got. Garage door opening business, Daryl Issa. Get the hell out of there. Let us take over, you stupid schmendricks. I'm done. Sick of it. They don't represent us. They represent Mammon. And you know damn well they do. Okay, thanks, Ron, for coming in. Great to see you here. Mikey, if you want to call, anybody wants to call in. Okay, absolutely. Take care of Pops. God bless. Take care of your wifey, all of them. Again, Mikey, if you want to call in, you're welcome. We've got about 20 minutes left. And Bill, you're always welcome to say whatever's on your mind. And put Chad on if he wants to.
Well, right here. We're sitting here listening to you on speakerphone, Linda.
Awesome. Awesome. Hey.
Let her have it, Chad.
So, this is what we talked a little bit about this yesterday. We've been talking about this stuff for how long? Because we know what's coming. We know what they're doing. These people for decades and decades, and we know it now to be the facts, they do not care. They are totally evil. They represent the Rothschilds, the big banksters. They're all in cahoots. Everybody's got cronyism and nepotism going on. It's evil. They do not care about you or your children or your cats. I'm telling you, they don't. This is what makes me nuts.
We were just sitting here listening to down over here at the gun range to the cops firing off all their guns. They've been pretty active a lot the last couple of days.
Uh-oh. Is that good or bad?
For them, they really need the practice.
Are they oath keepers? That's my question to them. Are they oath keepers?
In this area, I would highly doubt it. It's a bought and paid for county and local police force.
How can you make your voice heard in any city council meetings on this subject? Because, you know, on the off agenda items and start screaming about that and say, hey, or walk up to the police chief and say, are you guys going to keep your oath? Or are you going to play? Are you going to, come up against us? I would. You could do it in a public forum. What are they going to do? They can't arrest you in front of 100 people. Huh?
I could, but every time they see me coming, it's always meeting adjourned.
Oh, my God.
I do it locally. I do get out here and do it locally. I do get in places where they're at, and I do try to confront them. I try to take them on things.
Good.
The whole amnesty thing here in my state and the arguments here, and I ask one question. Well, it's a multiple question deal, but I always ask them. First off, any elected officials in here that are invested in or have any investments in businesses that cater to, employ, or house illegal aliens, your vote shouldn't count.
Right. Yeah,
you're standing there in violation of the law already.
Exactly. I think that that's a good point. I think next week, I believe it is the 21st, we're going to be, after I do my show, I've got to go all the way down to City Hall and speak. I'm going to grab that article I had yesterday from the paper with Mary Baker and the Common Core and all the stuff that ties into Agenda 21. And I'm going to put together another 3-minute speech, and I'm going to start hammering these guys one more time in public because they've got to hear it, and just say, you guys have no idea what's coming. You you better prepare and you better stop this stuff, because you're going to be sitting ducks when it hits, and you're going to wish you had listened to me at that point. And it'll be too late then. Am I wrong?
It's going to be bad.
Yeah.
It's going to be bad. Just imagine how bad it would have, how much worse it would have even been if the people hadn't started standing up and screaming and telling and doing their own investigations and seeing what's going on.
You betcha. I know. And I think I have Mikey on, too.
We're not
going
to get no truth from the media.
No, not at all. Hey, Mikey, thanks for joining us. How are you doing?
Good, Linda. How are you?
Hanging in there.
Hey, Mikey.
I'm still going and getting certain things taken care of by my new female doctor I saw today. So, but I'm just, at least I'm still alive. So
yeah, for
got
now.
Some good information. Yeah. For now.
Now. No, I just think that at this time, local councils and letters, I think, I don't want to tell anybody what to do, but from my personal standpoint, I just think it's a waste of time. At this point, and even if they tell you, yeah, we agree, and you think you went home with a minor victory, or that they throw you a little bone, I just think it's pointless. I think it's time to circle the wagons and educate your families. who's ever willing to
you
listen.
You know what? I agree with you. And I did have I did have a couple days ago a great meeting with my sister and her husband. They have acquired some toys lately, which is good. And
that's another topic. Guys, I mean, seriously, I think I would refrain from bragging about what we have and where
exactly.
we have it. Because
they
are
the other
listening.
Thing,
and why make it easier? Like the Godfather said, never tell anybody outside the family what you're thinking.
You're right. No, but the other thing that they have been doing is, like I did, is hedging some bets and talk to some people buying silver and stuff. We're not a family that can go out and buy gold, but we can buy silver and do other things, getting the barter items and starting to prepare. So I think most of my family's coming around except for my niece, the eldest niece. She doesn't understand any of it. So she's going to be kind of like the one that we're going to have to take care of because she's going to get caught with her pants down literally in the financial situation.
She'll be dangling in the weeds.
She will not be, she'll be hanging in the wind because she's not going to be happy. And her husband, her new husband, who they work very hard, they try to save money and do the right things, but they're dealing with this paper fiat nonsense, and they don't understand anything of what we've learned. So,
do they also live in California like you?
Yeah, they do.
Well, see, that's the problem right there. Also, is that you're fighting a losing battle with California and Connecticut tax, which
I know.
You know, again, I'm not going to say my exact location, but I'm weeks away from leaving this environment.
Mm-hmm.
And going to another environment where I have a better chance of at least keeping my toil or more of it.
Sure.
And,
you're
fighting a losing battle out there.
Oh, as far as money goes? Oh, well, that's true. And
that's
the laws.
You get taxed to death.
The other thing.
Better have survival skills.
Welcome Demon Mizu, who just signed in. But also what happened, we were talking yesterday about this because I was just livid because Jerry Brown, the Fagala, signed in
gender gig, I know.
Gender bender nonsense. And I took two separate links, giant links, from not only from my people, I think it was Darcy Brandon or Mary Baker, one of them, because we're the charter members of America's Protecting Property Rights, which is the anti-Agenda 21 crowd here in San Diego. And I took that link. I took everything I could off the internet that talked about how Jerry Brown signed this into law. I printed it off, read it yesterday. I sent it to my niece, who has the two young girls in school, and 6 years old and 8 years old in our public indoctrination Marxist centers. And so I haven't heard anything from her. I'm sure she might be upset, but you know what? She's allowing this to go on. She knows they're being taught Common Core, and I don't think she's spoken up about it. The kids are still in school, so apparently. She's okay with it. I don't understand it.
This transgender crap, you know, he's not signing this stuff because he cares about transgender people, you know. They're just doing this to dismantle the American family.
Right.
They're making it harder and harder for us to raise our children in the Judeo-Christian values.
This is
and
part of...
What they're doing, but Linda, they're putting it on us, you see, the parents, which
I
of
know.
Course now I've been knocked out of the box, but the onus is on us to spend more time with our families as opposed to, you know, the baseball game or what have you.
The thing is that everybody that has been advocating for parental rights who is going up against this stuff, they're going up against Common Core, they're going up against Jerry Brown's nonsense. I think it was SB 48 a couple years ago, 2.5, 3 years ago, these evil people got through this. It's like the first tenet of the Common Core, without calling it that, they were putting their LGBT lessons K-12 and mandating that every public school teaches this nonsense. And under the guise of to eliminate bullying, the whole thing is nuts. It is so absolutely libtard nuts, it makes my head just bleed. I can't.
Well, fine. But again, you know, wasting energy on fighting these people that you're not going to beat, you could take that time and right. deprogram your children on
exactly.
a Saturday or a Sunday and start bringing the Bible out of the closet and put it onto the dining room table.
But here's my point, Mike. When I hear this or when I – like yesterday, I called the state fair of Missouri and was put on to someone who was higher up than the receptionist who answered the phone. And I told him, I said, if you think that living in a country in a state where you are, which is a red state apparently, and you are going to bow down to this clown in the White House because he's thin-skinned, oh, that's just great. I told him, I said, that's nuts. I said, we have 236 years of mocking presidents and you're going to stop now? Oh, my God. I'm going to call people out. You know what? Publicly, I'm going to tell everybody who will listen, including them, that this normalizing of this behavior and this transgender nonsense is right out of the Communist Manifesto by Karl Marx, and they're going to hear it until they're sick of hearing it, because I'm not going to shut up.
Well,
and they have to know.
Because
they don't read anything.
That's fine.
They
don't care.
I know. It's just like watching you guys.
It's time to just take care of your families. It's one house at a time.
I know. No, I get it. I understand where you're coming from, but I think that to just watch it happen and not scream about it, as long as I still am not in a FEMA camp, I'm going to do it. I can't not do it because I don't have little kids.
Well, hell, you put me in a FEMA camp and I still ain't going to shut up.
That means you get to go home to the Lord sooner, my dear.
which wouldn't be such a bad idea.
In the name of the Lord,
absolutely.
Till that same day, see glory in heaven.
Absolutely. Yeah, I told Ron on a Skype call one time, I said, I was talking about all this crap and I was fed up, and I said, the only thing I want on my tombstone is absent from the body, present with the Lord. I said, I want it etched in stone. Amen. I mean, you know, it's just, it's unbelievable. Yeah, these people, the things that are happening, I think that regardless of, you know, how much we read, how much we educate ourselves, and you're right, Mike, we've got to go to the family, to the Bible, to the closest knit of, you know, and the closest niche that we have, because otherwise we are spitting in the wind. I understand that. But there's part of me wants to be Dietrich Bonhoeffer till the very end and just scream and just say, I don't care.
They don't want you to have loyalty to God. They don't want you to have a loyalty to family. The only loyalty you're allowed to have is to them.
Yeah, statism. I know. It's all for the state. It's been that way with Stalin, Lenin, Hitler, Pol Pot, Che, all of them. They're all the same.
And the state makes it easier for people to have no personal accountability.
Right.
And I think that's the biggest cherry or carrot that they offer, is that if you accept their ideology, nothing is your fault.
Right.
You don't
and
have to answer to a higher power. You're not
right.
accountable. You can just back out of your vows, back out of your commitments.
Yeah, it's sick.
You could just walk away because there's nothing holding you. It's a very easy carrot to run after.
Well, here's the thing. This is what I've talked about this with you and Terry Rowland and Ron and everybody on these shows about what they have done in the dumbing down of American people and the low information voters. You got to know what's going on here. Why do you think it was punishable by death to teach a slave how to read back in the day? Because they knew that once there was an education going on, they'd find a way to get free and live freely as much as they could. And that's why they have to dumb them down. They have to indoctrinate them, as they have done. And then they dangle the carrots and say, oh, well, nothing's your fault. And, you know, everything's excusable. The state, you know, and then teaching kids, they're teaching their own children to pray to Barry B. Stalin is what I call him. The quote from... okay, Rod, God bless. Take care. See you next time. Bastiat says, the state has no resources of its own. It has nothing. It possesses nothing that it does not take from the workers. When then it meddles in everything, it substitutes the deplorable and costly activity of its own agents for private activity. The state is evil, and they want everyone to think that it is it, the Borg mentality, the Plato's Republic, you know. It's sick, and this is what's happening, and they're doing it. Look what they've done to this country. Look what they elected twice. Good grief. And they're getting away with it. They're getting away with the Benghazi, the NSA, the FEMA camps. Nobody cares. It's nuts. What say you guys?
Well, it is nuts. It's like, everybody's just indifferent. They act like nothing's going to ever affect them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think Bill hit it right on the head. The ambivalence.
Well,
it's a cancer. I mean, I talk to young guys at work. They don't know anything, Linda and Bill. They don't know. All they know is the latest stupid show on Netflix or on HBO.
Yep.
They don't have a clue who any of these players are. They know
nothing. Nothing. Oh, I know. It's very apparent because all they're caring about is who's playing what A-Rod's doing in the courts, what's happening with their new iPhones and their apps, you know, the APPs and all this stuff. I mean, it's...
Yeah, the latest thing is at work, everybody's playing this Candy Crush crap, which...
Oh, my God.
You know, that's the latest obsession. Meanwhile, they're being dismantled.
Oh, my gosh. There's nothing left. There's nothing left. I know. There's like zero. I'm going to do real quick. I got 3 minutes. Hang on. Let me do 41 seconds of promo, and I'll be right back to you guys. Hold on.
Blog Talk Radio and Patriot Family is where you need to be if you want to be informed and inspired 5 days a week. On Monday at 7:30 p.m., you can listen to the Constitution Hour. On Tuesday at 7 p.m., you can listen to Patriot Family Chat. On Wednesday at 7 p.m., you can listen to Right from the Left Coast. On Thursday at 6 p.m., you can listen to Patriot Education. And on Friday at 7 p.m., you can listen to Exposed but Never Forgotten. All times are Eastern Standard Time. Hope to see you there.
Anyway, we're back, and I want to thank everybody for calling in. And do you have any parting thoughts today, Mikey?
Yeah, I'm just looking forward to Total Road Warrior because I've got some... See, when there's total lawlessness, I have some some things to take care of.
I know.
So the sooner the better for me.
All right, you guys. I want to thank Ron,
yourself, and I hope to see you Saturday as well. 8 o'clock,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah. I forgot to promote your show, but I usually do when I'm in there. Mike... Hot Seat from the Left is Never Right, Saturdays, 8 p.m. Eastern. Great show. You guys will love it. So I'm going to play some music as we go. Thanks, Ron, Mike, Bill, Demon, whatever, FT, all y'all. Thank you so much. God bless. And we'll play a little Poker Face, and we will see you tomorrow for Terry Rowland's show. Good night. God bless.
2 many people in America fear their government. And the government is being run by too many powerful agencies like the IRS and others. I think it's time the people take the country back through their representative government.
Hey, Mr. Politician, living on that hill. Living in that luxury on We the People's Bill. Don't have a clue how the other half lives, and that is a shame. It's time to stop the tyranny you keep pushing through your bills. Calling for revolution, calling for it now. Save our Constitution while we still got the guns in our hands.
Thanks, Mikey. Good night. See you guys tomorrow. Have a great
night. Good night,
week.
Linda. You too. Bye-bye.